And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, for a little extended hour
final hour
on this April 21st, 2012. Max Egan, producer of Transformation, regular contributor to Truth Frequency, thecrowhouse.com, his website. He also has a podcast on there that hopefully will be restreaming on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, which is coming up hopefully next week. That's the trajectory that we're on. Really looking forward to it. But Max, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Definitely.
I'd like to talk this time in depth, if you don't mind, about transformation. And before we get into the actual content itself, it's an absolutely mind-blowing presentation. The graphics are just astounding. And Sherry's a video maker, and I've got to ask you this. How do you do it, and what software are you using?
Look, everything I do is just basically done in Photoshop, and I edit the film and put the film together in Sony Vegas is what I use.
Are you using Vegas? Wow.
Wow.
I've never seen Vegas used in that way.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of work involved. But, I mean, I use a lot of other clips as well. I use a lot of stuff that I get from the internet, and, you know, there's original content and there's non-original content. It's just trying to put something together that's visually stimulating for people so I can give them a message that I really believe that they need to hear.
Well, you did an excellent job.
Well, thank you, Sherry. That's really nice. They had a little bit of help in places. There was a guy called Chris Velrath who did an animation sequence in the middle of the first section where I was talking about education. There was like a pink background, and there was a lot of stuff going on that ended up forming a human brain. And I was explaining how we are all just sort of pushed into this meme, and we're taught what reality is. And that's the way we leave school, and it's just an idea, it's just a meme. And he did all that for me, a guy called Chris Velrath, and a guy called Jason Matthews, who's known on YouTube as Sentient Mind. He did the titles for me, the blowing dust of the titles. The rest of it I put together myself.
Excellent, excellent. And the name of the film is Transformation. It's available at thecrowhouse.com, correct?
That's right. It's at thecrowhouse.com. It's there. You can download it from the Crowhouse now. I finally got the file up there, and you can also just watch it on YouTube if you don't want to download it. But it's up there. I'll have the DVD available soon, and we'll get that out to people. It's been very well received, so it's good that it's gone viral pretty well around the net. It's posted on a lot of sites now. I'm trying to upload it to Vimeo as well, so we'll get the message out to as many people as we can. Hopefully this is a film that may wake up some of the sleepers. And even some of the people in the truth movement that are awake, it may give them a little bit of a broader perspective of what's actually going on here.
Well, I know when I make a 10 or 15 minute YouTube video, it takes me, let's see, I did a 4 minute trailer for, no, it was actually a 2 minute trailer for a film that we were working on, but we scrapped the idea. And that trailer took me 23 hours to put together. So there's a lot of work that goes into this, definitely. And for you to put it out there for free is just absolutely amazing. And I urge everybody that watches it to chip in a couple of dollars. Donate a couple of dollars. If everybody did that, $1, $2, that's it. Then, Max, you would be able to make films for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah, that's the go. I mean, I figure television is what's been used to brainwash people, and, you know, all this visual media that they're bombarded with. So, and that's what they're kind of addicted to. People are addicted to visual media. So that's the medium we need to use to try to deprogram people. And when we know it works, it programmed them very well, you know. So we know the medium works and the infrastructure's there, and that's what people are addicted to. So, yeah, put something out that's visually stimulating and hopefully causes a few pennies to drop in their minds, and we can wake up a lot of people using this medium. So that's why I make movies. I mean, I speak out about television all the time. And the brainwashing of visual media that, you know, it's done to people. But, I mean, that's obviously our only hope to wake people up, really. It's very difficult to get people to go to town meetings and stuff. There's people that will go, but there's a lot of people that won't. But if you can give them a DVD that is visually stimulating, then they're more likely to watch it. And it may just cause a penny to drop. And everything I've stated in the film, I mean, really, it's just common sense. Some of the conclusions that I've come to about the transhumanist agenda and stuff like that, I mean, all I've really done there is connect the dots. And I said in the film, what if? I mean, what if this is going on? Could it be done? Well, yes, it could. And it'd actually be quite easy. And when you look at what's going on around you, it appears that it is being done. And not only that, but they're telling us that it's being done. Films like Transcendent Man by Ray Kurzweil. You got Bill Gates and other people out there saying, yes, yes, we are conducting geoengineering. We're protecting you from global warming, but we are conducting a high altitude aerosol spraying. Okay, so let's have a look at what's in the air and what's in the soil. Well, you've got strontium and barium and all this stuff, and you've got these nanoparticulates that people like Cliff Carnicom are finding, and Jan Smith from Morgellonsexposed.com. So you're seeing what's going on here, and if you step back and look at the bigger picture, well, there's a very dark agenda going on here, and it's right in front of everyone's faces if they just take the time to look. And so that's what I've tried to present in the film. And I've done it in a way that hopefully it will get them interested to see the next one, which is going to be a lot more scientific and hopefully produce some of the information to back up some of the claims that I've made in the first film. So
next one coming up.
Wow.
Ooh. Tell us a little bit about the previous films that you've made.
Well, I made a film back in 2008. The first one I ever made was called The Big Picture. And that was just kind of a throw-together slideshow. It was pretty sloppy, you know, the whole thing when I look back at it. But, you know, I've always been kind of arty, and it gave me a bit of a look into video making. I made actually a clip for a game that my son used to play in before that, and that sort of taught me video editing. I used the clip to kind of learn how to do video editing. Then I made The Big Picture, and in The Big Picture, I sort of tried to just show people what was going on, to step back and look at the whole thing holistically, because a lot of people just focus on their little symptoms. You know, no one's ever really stepping back and looking at the whole thing. I mean, a few people are. Obviously, some of the main researchers are. But a lot of the people out there in the research community, they're all interested in going down rabbit holes and pointing the finger at someone and all this sort of stuff. And they're not paying attention to what's going on around them. And there's a few of us out here that are trying to get people to see the bigger picture. And so that's why I put out The Big Picture. I thought, well, if I can just kind of tie it all together here, here's the main points you need to research. Here's what's actually going on, and here's where they're leading us. And so I put that out in 2008. And then the second film I did was called New World Order, The Final Solution. That was a short film, about 25 minutes. And that was discussing DNA and the power of emotion and how we can sort of literally recode our DNA by changing our energetic state. We can activate our DNA, because we're very, very closed down. Our DNA is almost dormant. It's almost not working at all. I mean, the human body is literally working to about 3% of its capability, because we're not using our higher senses. Our DNA is inactive, and a lot of it is because we're stuck in this perpetual vibration of fear. And a lot of people don't even know they're in it, but they are. It's always there dripping in the back of their minds. Concern about something, concern about the money, concern about the global situation, whatever it is, Fukushima, your kids, whatever, your job. There's always something there in the back of your mind. You know, peer group pressure. Are you good looking enough or whatever? You know, all the things that people go through in the back of their mind, it's always there. So this fear vibration is what closes your DNA off and keeps it shut down. So that's what that film was basically about, just to let you know that, okay, things are a little bit messed up and you're all kept in a state of fear, and this is possibly what you can do about it.
I'm sorry, let me just jump in with this real quick. I've got to say that, I mean, I'm guilty of that too. I look at my bank account, or I look at the cash that I have on hand, and I go, am I going to be able to pay the rent this month? Am I going to be able to keep Truth Frequency going? Am I going to be able to continue doing what I'm doing? And the universe always steps in, no matter what kind of situation I'm in, always steps in, even if it's at the very last second. But still, up until that second, I can't help but stay in that state.
Yeah, well, the society is structured that way. The whole social system and economic system and business system, corporate system, it's all structured that way. It's all structured to always keep you in a state of fear. See, money keeps people in a state of fear-based mind control. So does religion. You know, there's a lot of things there that keep people in this state of fear-based mind control. Fear of the New World Order, fear of what the police can do to you. Make a massive police presence everywhere, because then people get more and more fearful. Closes them down more and more and more. Because as the frequency is rising and consciousness is expanding, and it is. I mean, the amount of people that are waking up, consciousness is absolutely expanding. And that's why there's all this negative stuff coming out and being pushed on us now. It's just trying to keep us down, just trying to hold this consciousness down and stop this expansion from taking place. But you can get through it by simply understanding how your body works and realizing that you can recode your DNA by getting out of that fear energy. And that's what I tried to say in the second film. And the third film was what we can do about it, what we can do about the situation, which is non-compliance. And that film was Fight the New World Order with Global Non-Compliance. And that film went everywhere. That got like 26,000 views in 2 days when I uploaded it. It got posted everywhere. YouTube was dropping the view count, and it got flagged as inappropriate for children and all sorts of stuff they tried to do to stop it doing what it did. But that got a lot of people's attention. And then I got approached by a few sort of new agey people from the area that I live in and said, all this stuff that I'm putting out is great, but it's hard to show it to some of the hippies and new age people and the women in the area because it's all so deep and heavy, you know. And could I make a version that was more acceptable for the new age people so we could try to crack that shell, okay? This is literally what happened. And so I thought, okay, no worries. Well, what's your plan? What can we do? How can we reach these people? And I said, well, let's put this new agey bit together on the end and tell them it's all about frequency and vibration, because it is. But, you know, you've got to show them the importance of them getting into this frequency and vibration, the importance of them having a look at what's going on around them. And so I condensed the big picture, Fight the New World Order, the Global Non-Compliance, and New World Order, the Final Solution, all into one film and called it The Calling. And that was 1 hour long, and that was made specifically for the new agey people to try to crack that nut, you know?
Yeah, as a former DJ, I can say that you definitely have to play to the audience.
Well, you do, and it's no good preaching to the choir. You know, I want these people to wake up to what's going on. I want everybody to wake up to what's going on. So that's what The Calling was all about. It was specifically aimed at the people who are kind of in the right energetic state, but they're not paying attention to what's going on around them, which is most of what the New Age movement does, unfortunately. You know, they live in a little bubble of love and light, but they won't look at reality because it puts them in a negative state, and that's called fear. They won't look at reality because they're in fear of reality, and yet they think that they're in this high energetic state. You know, you've got to have balance. It's got to be balanced. You're in a 3D reality. If you've got all this knowledge about energy and frequency and vibration and how to communicate with the field, with the ether, and you're not applying it to reality around you, well, you're only halfway there, because there's nothing to fear in this reality. There's nothing, all the negative stuff you see, it's all opportunity to fix it, you know, but you can't fix it unless you know it's there.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because that's exactly where I am right now. I'm just getting out of that bubble to where I don't want to look at the negative but it does still affect me negatively, though, and it does put me in a lower energetic state, and then I affect people around me because I'm in that lower energetic state, and I feel, me personally, and I know a lot of people out there feel the same way, we're beacons, and however we're feeling, we radiate that energy to other people.
Absolutely, but you've got to look, why does it push you in that negative state?
Seeing kids
over.
Getting white phosphorus dumped on them, seeing like this whole Kony 2012 movement and all these brainwashed kids out there who believe that we're really going to go over there and do something great for everybody and we're going to go save children, when in actuality this is just a plot to acid strip mine the country and commit genocide. These things, the truths are just so depressing.
Well, they're depressing. They can be depressing if you look at it that way. I mean, I see them all as opportunity. And what if, you know, if you can understand this is a single consciousness experiencing itself subjectively, you're in a body computer. You know, just like David says, it's a body computer and you're downloading a frequency. Look at Bruce Lipton's work. You know, cellular biology. Your consciousness is not localized to your body. It exists in the field. Same as Shuri, same as me, same as everybody. It all comes from the same source. There's all these 7 billion little biological computers walking around, all experiencing reality from a different perspective. Consciousness is trying to experience everything, and it's attempting to grow. And what if these sections of consciousness came in to die in the horrific way they did, so that the rest of consciousness could see this and adapt and change itself and expand and grow? Because these are opportunities for you to deal with the problem. When you have a negative emotion, it's an opportunity for you to understand reality more and to think, okay, well, why is this happening? Why are these things that are making me feel negative happening in the world? Well, they're happening because of people's failure to deal with reality around them.
Right.
People's neutrality, you know? And so how do you get out of that? Well, you've got to show them a better way, so you've got to lead by example. I mean, I don't have any fear of death. I don't have fear of death for myself, and I don't have fear of death for other people, because their death serves a purpose. And that might sound cold, but it's not. I absolutely have empathy for these people, and I love these people, and if I wasn't trying to prevent this from happening, I wouldn't do what I do. But again, I can see it has purpose, because there are some people who will not wake up until they see that. And so that death will serve to wake up other people, and they'll go, hang on a minute, this isn't right. And the more people fail to wake up, the more atrocious it's going to get, until it's so in your face that people do not have a choice other than to wake up. And the only way you can assist this process to happen is to lead by example. Start building bridges in your community and always speak out when you see something. If you see something unjust happening before you, speak out. But do it calmly. Do it politely. Don't create a riot or anything. But know who you are. And if you see a breach of natural law and you simply turn away, well, you're part of the problem, you know. You've got to speak out about these things, but you've got to do it in the right way. You can't attack people. You've got to understand these people are doing what they're doing because they're completely disconnected. Because of the social structure they've grown up in, the whole human race is fractured and disconnected. And the only way through it is to lead by example. I really believe this. This is what we have to do.
That's been a reoccurring theme on this show, leading by example. I completely agree.
And in the example,
we open ourselves up to the constant attacks by people who just aren't quite there yet. They don't quite realize what exactly we're doing. And then some people who are still living in that fear vibration where they feel that because you're doing it, they should ridicule you. Let me put it this way. Larkin Rose said it best. When they used to hang the slaves or they used to beat the slaves, all the other slaves would cheer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they don't realize that they're cheering for their own demise.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, something I was saying on the last show I did yesterday is that there's really only two classes in society now. There's really only the elite and the working class. There is no middle class. So, you know, people have to understand that we're all in this together. We're absolutely all in this together. But, you know, I mean, people ridicule me. People will attack me on YouTube and say things, but I find it fascinating. I really do. I just don't. It's like water off a duck's back to me. It absolutely is. I find it fascinating. Sometimes I get a little bit, you know, disheartened. Sometimes I think, you know, what's the point? What's the point of me doing this?
Right.
You know, even when I try to do the right thing, someone comes along and they've got to misconstrue what you say, got to attack you, got to put you down, got to twist it all into something else. Yeah. And these are the people I'm trying to save. What the hell am I doing? You know what I mean? But then, you know, I get so much response from other people who go, wow, thank you. You know, now I see it. Now I see it. And Terence McKenna even once said that if the truth can be told in such a way that it can be understood, then people will believe it. And that's what I'm striving to do in all of my shows. And so, look, that's why I made all the films in the way I did, in the order I did as well. Like, I made the big picture. Okay, here's the global situation. Okay, here's why it's happening, because you're not remembering the language of feeling and emotion. And the answer to the whole thing is non-compliance. So here's the non-compliance film, and then here's the little wrap-up calling so you can all get it a little bit easier and all you new age people can get on board. And then I made The Awakening, which basically went through the nature of reality, looking at it from a perspective of people like Nassim Harriman's black hole theory and stuff like this, and Bruce Lipton's work on cellular biology. And you start really looking at all this and putting it all together, and you go, well, this is how the universe works. And once you understand how it works, and you understand that it's all energetic, it's an absolutely energetic universe, and that this body is simply a vehicle that you're using to experience reality at this particular time, then there's nothing to fear. You don't die. You return to infinite consciousness, infinite source. You return to the energetic field with the information that you've gathered during your life. So where does the fear part come in? You know, death is the only part of life that's inevitable, and we're taught to go through life in complete fear of death all the time. It's all about fear of death. So we miss out on experiencing our lives, and we miss out on figuring out who and what we are. And we're living in this system where everything that is natural about law has been replaced by legislation of politicians, and all of it is being used to steal everything from the planet, everything from the people, all the resources, everything is just being eaten up. Where it's going, I don't know. It just seems to be we're harvesting the planet and turning it into rubbish is all we're doing to support this system, which views humanity as the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system. So, you know, people have got to wake up to it. And that's what I've been trying to do with the films, just to help people understand that we can fix all of this. The answer is so simple, it's ridiculous. It's so simple, people just can't see the forest for the trees. You know, and the answer is within. People have to simply change their perspective of reality and see this system for what it is, because it's just an idea. It's just a meme, you know. They just wrote it down, and they take people to school and they teach them that this is how the world works. And everyone goes, oh, okay. And look at the place, you know. So we've got to change our perspective of what reality is, and we're only going to really do that by changing our perspective of what we are and what the people around us are, because we're all equal. We're all in this together. We are all a valid perspective of reality and a valid perspective of consciousness, and we're not honoring that, and we need to.
One of our listeners from your neck of the woods, one of our regular listeners, as a matter of fact, ask this question. Can you ask Max about some people wanting to warn people about your documentaries making some people go crazy? I would say crazy is a good thing, because if sanity is believing the power structure and the religion structure and the political structure, then I'm happy to be crazy and insane.
Well, you know, the thing is, some of the stuff that I've got in the documentary, I said to people on the show yesterday, just to be warned, that when you do watch this, you're going into pretty deep water, because the implications of what I'm saying in the final segments of the film, when it kind of sinks in, it's a bit freaky to think that, okay, you've got nano particulates inside you doing God knows what, you know, and what the evidence suggests is that transhumanism is already well underway. That chemtrails contain nanoparticulates that are virtually a new life form. They're a cross between the three life forms that exist on Earth, which is bacteria, eukarya, and archaea, and never the three shall meet. But what we're seeing here is a new life form, which is basically a mixture of all three. You can grow these things in a petri dish, and it seems to be that it's in everything. And the transhumanist agenda, you know, they give us shows like Star Trek, and we see the Borg with all these plantons and stuff, and that's all very well, but what about if they were doing it from the inside out, genetically, like literally recoding our DNA, transcoding our DNA, transmuting our DNA, and turning this into a merging of man and machine from the inside out? And that's what appears to be happening, because, you know, these nanoparticulates are very robust. There's so much going on here. And when you look at it, and you look at the GM food, and you look at the chemtrails, and you look at all this electromagnetic grid that's being put in place, and this is kind of where it all leads. And then there's that film by Ray Kurzweil where he talks about how soon nanobots will infuse everything. Rocks, trees, everything will be intelligent. Everything will have nanoparticulates in it, and eventually we'll be sending nanoparticulates out into space, you know, nanoparticulates infused with artificial intelligence to go out into space and to harness more energy and matter to expand our consciousness. I mean, this is the Borg, you know, and it's not with plantons. It's being done from the inside out. Now, the transhumanism, I mean, it's all very well if people want to merge with machine. That's fine. They want to do that. That's their trip. Hey, go right ahead.
But doing it by force, though.
Doing it to the entire human race and all the genetics upon the earth without the permission of the people, simply because you believe that this is where we should be going, is insane. This is the work of an insane mind. I mean, you don't do that sort of stuff. You know, we've been dumbed down to a point where we're only operating to 3%. You know, we've got all these higher senses that we're not experiencing. We don't know how to communicate with reality around us the way we should be. The way animals can, the way every other life form on this planet can, we've had that taken from us. The hive mind that exists in all of reality, that's already there, that we can access, that everything accesses, but we can't. So now what's happening is they're offering us upgrades. You know, they've reduced us to 3% of our capability, and now they're offering us digital and mechanical upgrades, because they can create a new hive mind, but it's a mind that can be controlled. You know what I'm saying? The other one can't be controlled. Right. We're all free in the other one. We're all free expressions of creation. This is a new creation. This is a controllable creation. And they've done it by removing everything from us. It's like if I wanted to sell you a cheap Honda and you're a Lamborghini driver, you're not going to buy it. But if I come and steal your Lamborghini, you're going to buy my Honda because you've got to get to work. You know what I mean? So they've stolen our Lamborghini and now they're offering us the Honda. And everyone's falling for it.
It's their typical MO, problem, reaction, solution.
Well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, if people want upgrades, hey, that's up to them. But it shouldn't be forced upon not only humanity, but all of creation, all of the plants, the trees, everything. It's basically turning the whole earth into one huge nano machine, everything infused with artificial intelligence. This is where they're going. And when you see that in the film, you think, okay, well, how would they do this? If they wanted to do that, how would they do it? Well, chemtrails. That's how they do it.
Ponder that thought, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take another quick break right here on Truth Frequency, another long segment with Max Egan right on the other side. Wow. I have so many thoughts going through my mind.
Yeah.
I think I'll just pick it up when we get right back.
No, I want to pick it up when we get back.
Okay.
Okay.
It first started in 1967 when I found out that I had not gotten the big picture, even though I thought that I had it together. I just didn't have the complete pieces of the picture. This is a giant geopolitical picture, and things are happening with the use of subliminal, indirect, and reverse psychological propaganda. It's made to be confusing by the evilarchy that controls not only the United States, but Britain. This Illuminati, this group who called themselves the Enlightened Ones, had gain positions of power through control of the banking system.
On the back of the dollar bill, you'll see the symbol on the left-hand side of the bill, which is annuit coeptus, which means our enterprise is now a success, or our enterprise is crowned with success. Annuit coeptus. So you're saying, fine, so you have an enterprise and it's now crowned with success. What enterprise are you talking about? Novas ordo seclorum. Novas is novus, meaning new. Ordo is order, and seclorum is where we get the word secular, meaning the world. So it's new order of the world, the new world order. George Bush's new world order is now a success.
Bill, you've heard an awful lot of dramatic speeches and seen dramatic moments in times of great gravity for the nation. How would you assess this evening?
This was a stirring address, in my view. Shorter than his father's speech when he announced the new world order. Shorter than his father's speech when he announced the new world order.
Your living room is the factory. The product being manufactured.
And we are back. TruthFrequencyRadio.com. We are talking with Max Egan about his awesome new film, Transformation. I loved the part that you, when you explained the nanobots and actually showed, you know, with my own two eyes, I saw how they work. And then I understood this whole deal, because I am a visual kind of person, and I do have to see sometimes for myself how these things operate in order to understand the impact that this is going to have on the human race as a whole. Max, what do you think about wires coming out of people's skin and different things that suggest Morgellons? Can you explain that to our listeners a little bit better?
Okay, well, like, Morgellons syndrome is absolutely real. Actually, I believe Joni Mitchell has got Morgellons, and she's now out there campaigning against Morgellons. Now, of course, doctors in the medical institution tell you that if you say you've got Morgellons, you're delusional, and they've accused people of seeing this on the internet, and so they've been rubbing fibers into their sores. They've been getting bed sores and rubbing fibers into them and stuff, you know. I mean, completely ridiculous things. But it would appear that Morgellons, because you can get saliva from someone, you can get saliva, you can put it in a petri dish, and you can grow these things yourself, it appears that Morgellons must be people who are rejecting this nanotechnology. Their bodies are rejecting the nanotechnology. And, I mean, there could even be a fix there, finding out why their bodies are rejecting it and creating something that, you know, repels this stuff or something. I mean, there's got to be ways of getting rid of it. But more importantly, we've got to prevent the infrastructure being put in place, the rest of the infrastructure. We've got to, you know, awaken people to the fact this is happening. And that's what I was talking about before when I said you're stepping into deep water when you watch the film. And that's why some people have been – I've had a couple of people email me and say you need to warn people about this film because – I went into severe psychological depression for a few hours after watching this film. And I thought, well, you know, look, it is very delicate information, but this is just where my research has gone, and it's been backed up by other people like Cliff Carnicom, Sophia Smallstorm, the lady on the Morgellons site. So it's being backed up from other areas now. And if you do analysis of the chemtrails, you find all these metallic salts and all these things in the air now. The air is no longer neutral. Everything can conduct energy now. It creates this flux for harp and all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff in there that's kind of unsettling. And so that's why I tried to break it to people as gently as possible in the way I did with the film to say, look, this is serious and this is what appears to be going on. And so this is what we can do about it. And, you know, I always try to provide at least some pathway to solution at the end of everything. I mean, if I'm going to present someone with a problem and I don't have the solution for them, then really I'm just part of the problem because people just go into fear. Oh, no, this is all happening. I don't know what to do about it. Well, here's what you do about it. So, you know, we've got to have this communal spirit. We've got to stop all these smart meters and all this stuff being put in. Get rid of all this wireless stuff, even wireless internet, mobile phones. These things switch your brain. They close down your corpus callosum. They prevent your left and right brain talking to one another. That's what wireless technology does more than anything. So, you know, we've got to try to get away from all of this sort of stuff. And we've got to pay attention to what's going on around us because we can still fix this. You know, but Morgellons, as I said, it would appear that it's as Sophia Smallstorm said in her presentation, it appears to be the canary in the coal mine. These are people whose bodies are rejecting these fibers, but the rest of the people are assimilating these fibers. And so there's definitely more going on than meets the eye, and it all makes sense. I mean, have you seen that new film, The Hunger Games?
Yeah, yes. We just watched it the other day.
Okay, well, that's Agenda 21.
Right.
And that's exactly where they're going. And I mean, I hate to say it to a lot of the listeners out there who may not like me saying it, but it also looks very similar to the Venus Project. Because you've got these mega cities, you've got all the nature comes back between them, and then you've got the outlying areas. Even if it's a resource-based economy, well, where are you getting your resources? From the outlying areas. Who's harvesting the resources for you? Do you want to? Would you prefer to live in this city? And out there in the outlying regions, it's going to get very, very tough and very, very difficult conditions to live in. And you're going to need a species that's very robust to mine the things in those conditions. And so here you have this transhumanist agenda going on. You can create a very, very robust species. And there's often been talk about the human race splitting in two, and we'll have an attractive ruling elite and a dumbed-down, dim-witted, ugly, goblin-like species.
Well, I don't know. In the movie, the rich people looked more goblin-like than the...
Well, the thing, that was the only thing that was wrong with the movie was that the people in the outlying areas living in abject poverty still looked like humans. Mm-hmm. Because that's not the plan of the elite. That's the only thing that was sort of wrong with it.
I think that's artistic license just to appeal.
Well, yeah, I mean, otherwise you don't get your attractive hero and heroine and all that sort of stuff that you want for a Hollywood movie.
Right.
Right.
But what they depicted in that film... With the digital sky, notice how they produce the dogs from the ground. They just put them on a map and bang, they popped up out of the ground because the ground's full of nanotechnology. It's all nanobots. It's all genetically engineered wasps. Cameras in all the trees. They could give me fireballs here. Give me a fallen branch there. Give me a digital readout on the sky. Give me daylight. Give me sunlight. Now these sort of digital virtual realities, all nano controlled. Okay? And then you've got Kurzweil saying soon nanobots will infuse anything. You know, does God exist? Well, not yet. You know, but we're going to create him because we're going to assimilate the universe with nanotechnology. And just the whole concept, I mean, someone said to me, how come you're believing David Icke's statements, but you're putting down Ray Kurzweil when he's just trying to improve mankind? And I said, Ray Kurzweil's insane. And how can you say he's insane? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm sorry, but maybe I'm just finicky and old-fashioned, but the concept of sending nanoparticulates, intelligent nanoparticulates out into space to assimilate everything they find strikes me as insane. I mean, you don't know what species are out there, what advanced civilizations are out there, what's out there at all.
Right.
And to have the ego that you would send something as damaging as nanoparticulates, intelligent nanobots, out into space, it could infect anything they come in contact with. This would be like cancer of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's completely insane. And that's where these people want to go. And they're just kind of, it's like an ant farm. And a cross between an ant farm and a train set. That's the way they see reality, and they're just puppeteering everything. And the human species has kind of outstripped its usefulness, and now they want something to play with. So they're genetically altering everything and creating this reality, which is going to be this whole blend of man with machine. I mean, look at GM food, some of the stuff. You know, you've got, you know, apples spliced with fish genes and stuff, and you've got spiders and goats, you know, spliced together. And, I mean, it's ridiculous, some of the stuff that they're creating and what they're doing to the genetics of the planet. And they're doing it without the knowledge of the people, and they're doing it right under their noses. And people would say, well, why are they spraying themselves? And that's simple. They want transhumanism. They want these enhancements. But they will control what happens to different parts of the planet. And they're not eating the genetically modified food everyone else is eating. They're not having the vaccines that everyone else is getting.
So they won't be sterile after three generations, but we will.
They'll probably be something completely different. They'll probably be very much enhanced and very much improved.
And but not only that, they'll have conditions in place after that occurs, after we all become sterile because of these genetically modified foods. They're going to grace us with their presence from on high and give us the privilege of having a child. It will be you asking them for a license to have a child, because at that point you'll be pretty much sterile and they'll have to, you know, do it artificially.
Well, do it artificially or even just clone new species. I mean, if you've got a species that's made up of self-replicating nanoparticulates, I mean, anything's possible, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, self-replicating after all. Yeah, who knows what could be created, how far it could go, you know. But, if you think of the elites putting different genetic codes into themselves than what they're putting into the rest of humanity, and you've really got to step back and realize that there is only two classes. There's only the elites, the puppeteers at the very, very top, and everybody below them. Okay? There is no middle class. Forget this idea of the middle class. You know, the President Obama, everyone's always talking about the middle class because everyone thinks they're part of the middle class. But the middle class doesn't exist. There's only the elites and those they control. That's it. Okay? We're all in this together. Doesn't matter how far up the food chain you are, whether you're a CEO of a corporation or whatever, you're expendable. You know, you're not part of that bloodline, so you're expendable. Everything below that bloodline is expendable. I mean, that's what the Illuminati is, and you've got to admire the tenacity of these people and the intelligence of the plan. I mean, it's incredibly intelligent, this force that's doing this. But, I mean, yeah, so it may be a little bit unsettling if people watch the film. But it just appears to be where it's going, and if we don't know what the problem is, we can't address the problem. And we still have a chance to address it. We just have to stop the rest of the infrastructure being put in place. We have to realize who and what we are. We've got to realize this is all being done by people, and that all of this stuff that they write on pieces of paper and call law is not law. It's only legislation. In the breach of a statute regulation, in the breach of legislation, there's no injured party, and yet the government will come along and prosecute you and injure you because you've breached the statute, for which there is no injured party.
Right.
You know, so really when you look at it, the only injured party in the breach of a statute is the person who's prosecuted. So who broke the law? The government did. The police did.
You know, you said something that kind of gave me goosebumps a minute ago. And before we veer too far off topic, I want to hit on this. You said they're sending these nanobots out to space. It's spreading like cancer.
Well, that's the plan. I don't know if they're doing it yet, but that's the plan.
Well, if they do, I can definitely see some other species out there getting pretty upset about us sending these things out there and coming to eradicate the whole planet to prevent this cancer from spreading.
Oh, you think? Of course. I mean,
this is a dangerous, dangerous game they're playing.
But the ego of the people involved. I mean, can you imagine having a mind that would even conceive of doing something like this and thinking that, yeah, there's nothing out there. Human beings are the top of the food chain in anything. I mean, we were made by God, so there's nothing below us. So we can assimilate the entire universe. I mean, just to have an ego, just to have a mind that works like that.
Reminds me of that scientist from Event Horizon.
Yeah, I mean, it defies analysis. These people are completely and utterly insane. And the ego, just the pure ego of this, it's absolutely mind-blowing. But that's the plan. That's what they want to do. They want to infuse everything with nanotechnology, create a singularity. They want the universe to be a singularity, which it already is. Just that we don't know that because we're so shut down genetically with our DNA and our higher senses. But most of the rest of the species on the planet know it. How can animals read reality the way they do, but we don't? How come you can hand a horse GM corn in one hand and other corn, organic corn in another hand, and it'll always go for the organic corn? Because it reads the energy. It reads the energy of the corn. It isn't the smell of it or anything. It all smells like corn, looks like corn, tastes like corn. But one's GM and one isn't. Now, one's GM and one's organic, the horse will always go for the organic corn.
Right.
Same with any animal. They'll always go for the organic food over the GM food. So how are they doing that? They're reading the energy of the food. You know, the food's been genetically altered, and it does you damage if you eat it. You know, so we haven't got those senses. So this singularity already exists. You know, there's already a way that creation and reality communicates with itself, but we can't access those codes because we're shut down. So a lot of people, a lot of left-brain people, they think this nano singularity is a great idea. Oh, yeah, we can be one with all the universe. We can become God because we will be everything in the universe, all one mind. Wow, you know, we can do this through nanotechnology. That's what these people want to do, but only because they're disconnected from reality itself. You know, they don't think reality is alive. They don't think the universe is a living being. They can't see the universe energetically. They can only see it mechanically. They can only see it chemically and mechanically, a bunch of dead elements, planets, rocks, and these things are just dead elements combined into this shape and this thing. They don't read it energetically, but the energy itself that makes up all matter is alive. It's all conscious. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. You know, it may not be conscious as you perceive it. You might not look at a rock and say, well, that rock is aware that it's a rock, but the energy that makes the rock up is the energy that makes up all reality, the energy from which all consciousness comes from. So ultimately, everything is intelligent already. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be part of reality if it didn't contain the intelligence of reality itself. When you can understand that your consciousness isn't local to your body, it exists in the field the same as everything exists in the field. The space is what's real. Matter is simply divisions in space made up of perception, basically. So you've really got to step back and look at reality in a different way. This is what I tried to do in The Awakening, and I really think that people can put away fear when they understand how reality works, and so they can stand up around them when they see injustice in their neighborhood, in their village, anywhere. They can stand up to these people and say, well, no, you're not going to do that because what you're doing is a breach of law. It doesn't matter about the legislation. What matters is law, and you are in breach of law. And you can even, if you have to go to court, you can even argue it. You can even find your way through this, but you've got to know who you are. You've got to know you're a flesh and blood man, and that what is applicable to you and to everybody else is natural law. All of this other stuff contravenes it. And I've done this, and I'm living proof that it works. I know a lot of other people who do it. And that's how we can change things, you know. I said in the film, we should occupy everything, but we've got to occupy ourselves. But the thing is, we already do occupy everything. Human race occupies everything everywhere on Earth, but we don't occupy ourselves. And so we allow ourselves to be pushed around. That's the thing. We don't have to go and have a big meeting in Wall Street. We've just simply got to occupy ourselves where we are and apply it to reality around us. You know, that's my perspective anyway.
Well, here's an interesting thought from one of our listeners. what's to say that nanobots weren't used to create us, that were sent here from another planet?
Well, what's to say?
Right.
What's to say? I mean, all we can do is speculate. I mean, we can speculate on lots of stuff like that. I mean, when you look at humanity, it definitely doesn't seem to belong here. It doesn't seem to fit very well. And you've got to wonder where it came from, you know. But, yeah, it's a possibility. And even if that did happen, I don't think it justifies what the elite are doing now. That's like creating a virtual reality within virtual reality. And that's okay if they want to do that. But don't do it to me because I don't want it, okay? And I know a lot of other people who don't want it. I know people who just want to enjoy this reality. And so, yeah, you've got to be given a choice in the matter. That's the thing. That's the annoying part, is that humanity isn't being given a choice. This whole genetic mutation has been carried out globally. It's happening absolutely everywhere. So I don't like not being given a choice in my own destiny, and I don't like where the species is being led. I don't agree with the splitting of the species being done unnaturally. I think the consciousness that exists within this creation is being manipulated to evolve in a certain direction, and it may not be where everybody wants to go, and I think we should be given a choice. So that's my beef about the whole thing.
Wow. That is definitely a lot to think about. I mean, a lot. But you know what? These people that are afraid and going insane because they're making these realizations, I think their responsibility ultimately lies with them. And they need to realize that, in my opinion. But that's all the more reason to separate the body from the spirit. I mean, let them do whatever they want to the body. The realization that we are not part of the body, that we are not the body, I should say, is something that will free us, I think.
Well, that's what I hope. That's what I've tried to let people know, that their consciousness is literally downloaded into their body. But what if it got trapped here? What if it did become some sort of nano-controlled machine that didn't die until it was supposed to or needed to, and it got trapped here? And, I mean, how controlled do you want to be? How far do you want to go before you cease to be human? And how far could you have gone as a human if you hadn't have intervened with creation? There's other people there that might argue, well, this is what evolution is. It's when consciousness changes itself, and this is how consciousness is now changing itself. It's creating nanomachines to blend itself with machine. There's all sorts of ways of looking at it, but I really believe it all comes down to individual choice, ultimately. You know, I'm here to experience reality from a certain perspective, and I don't wish other people to have control of that perspective. Have control of me. Have control of what direction my body goes in. What direction my consciousness goes in. Because I'm in control of my consciousness. Everybody's in control of their own perspective of reality. And all of the problems that we're facing is because people haven't really taken control of their own perspective. They've let themselves be led. And it's been a very, very gradual process. It's done through the education system. It's done all the way through life. And you can't really blame people for being led the way they have been. And you can't blame people for having the perspective they have, because they've been trained to have it. But, you know, I think what we're seeing now is a huge awakening, a huge awakening of consciousness. And someone is attempting to, or someone or something, a force, is attempting to manipulate that consciousness and lead it in a direction that they want it to go in. And I think we need the choice. So it all comes down to personal responsibility. So we have to realize what's going on and apply these understandings to reality around us. I really think we have to do this. And I think all of this stuff provides opportunity for us to do it. And like I said, you can't fix a problem unless you know what it is. Now, I hope the film doesn't upset people too much. But, well, you know, what can I say? You can't really study this stuff and find out this stuff and then not tell people about it, because what's the point of doing the research?
Right.
And yeah, I think it's important too. I think it's important that people are aware of it, because they might not want to go in that direction. They might want humanity to do something completely different. And yeah, ultimately I think it's very egotistical of the people that are in control of the planet to be doing things the way they are. I don't think it's right to be genetically altering all the species on the planet. They never asked for this. You know, if reality functioned perfectly, we had this beautiful synchronicity. All the species interacted with each other. Everything lived in harmony, this organic web of life that was the Earth. And then we came along and we started tinkering with it. And basically this tinkering has got out of control. And it's being done without the knowledge of 90% of the population, 98% of the population. don't understand what's going on around them. And you've got these little things going on at the top which are puppeteering the whole evolution of humankind. What gives them the right to do this? You know, did you ask for this? Did I ask for this? You know, I think humanity has a great deal of potential, and I think we should be allowed to reach that potential and to be ourselves to the best that we can be. I think we could create something wonderful on this planet. I really do, if we were left to our own devices to do it. But you know, it's just not happening, and you know, we need to pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. What did you talk about on the podcast yesterday?
Good question. Good question offhand. What was the point? The discarding of humanity. How we are basically being discarded. You know, through our neutrality. Again, yeah, people are neutral in the face of too many things. They don't stand up when they see injustice. I mean, sure, we're being led down the garden path, but a lot of people know we're being led down the garden path now, but they still stay neutral. They'll still turn their back when they see something going on in front of them, or they'll attack it and approach it angrily rather than simply being empowered and approaching it from the correct perspective. So it was a little bit about that. So, you know, like I said, Chris, I think we've got a way through this. By the way, thank you for letting me use your song at the end of the film as well.
Oh, it was an honor. It was an honor. No need to say thanks, because thank you for using it.
Well, yeah, I've had some good responses to the song, actually. It fitted very well. I thought the song contained almost as much information as the film, so that's good.
Excellent. I've been trying to work on a new album, but there's been so many roadblocks. We're building this network and a lot of work on the website and whatnot. I was on a roll for a couple of weeks there. I wrote a couple of tracks, but it'll come when the right time.
Yeah, well, it'll happen. But, you know, I think we're going to get through this. But, you know, like I said, people have to be aware of the problem before they're going to see the solution. And I did try to show them the solutions in that film. And I hope it does reach a lot of people. And I do hope it does empower them and not disturb them too much. I have told people it's you know, deep water. Just be prepared for that. But overall, I've had some very good responses to the film. People are working now and they're forming groups. And you know, if you don't know about this, we're just going to come and let them put smart meters in. Make just cause people to pay attention a little bit. So hopefully that's what the film will do. But I'm really, really gratified at the reception that it's had. I did work on it a lot. It took me like 18 months to actually make it. So
right,
there's a lot of work that goes into it.
And your website's real quick.
My website is thecrowhouse.com. And that's where everything is. You can download the film there. You can get all the radio shows there, all the archives, all the other films that I've made. Everything's on the website. And it's all for free. I'm trying to get a video uploaded to Vimeo, but I'm having a bit of trouble with that. So that'll be the full-length version as well. It'll get up on Vimeo. So, but it's already gone pretty viral. It's had like 35 or 36,000 views or something since I uploaded it 3 or 4 days ago. So that's pretty good. But, I mean, YouTube messes with the views anyway, so I'm not really sure how many it's had, because I see it drop 2,000 or 3,000 here and there, so you just don't know with YouTube. It's very difficult to find out what your view count actually is.
Right. Oh, I know. I saw a Ron Paul video where there was something like 350 views, and there was 1,600 or 1,700 likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of says it all, really, doesn't it? So I'm going to be working on a new Chappelle Corby film soon as well. I'm going to be dedicating the next month or two to that, just like a 30-minute film about Chappelle Corby, trying to help her get out of jail still and expose the corruption of this government. So, yeah, everyone's doing their little bit, and we'll get there. I'm sure we will. There's a lot of people out there working on it now. A lot of people are waking up. I'm seeing a lot of people waking up around here. It's just getting too in your face. You know, everyone's having really, really hard times just keeping up with the bills, electricity. You know, the government's always on TV smiling, telling us how great everything is, and everyone's really, really struggling. Coal seam gas is just going crazy across the whole country, and a lot of people are waking up. So I think we're in for a pretty groundbreaking year this year. Mass non-compliance, mass civil disobedience, and a return to natural law. That's what we need, and that's what I'm hoping for. We can still have a system. We can still have a monetary system. You know, get something better happening than what we've got. But, I mean, we can still have all the infrastructure that we've got. All we need is a little bit of honesty injected into the equation, and we're not getting that. So I think that's what we're going to see this year, hopefully anyway.
Very good. Max, we really appreciate your time and everything that you're doing. I thought the film was absolutely amazing. I mean, I really did. I was watching it and just blown away.
It was beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Well, thanks for that, guys. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad you appreciate the work that went into it. But again, I mean, I used lots of different footage and stuff and kind of collaged it all together. But yeah, it was fun to make, and hopefully it will reach a lot of people.
Definitely. Have a great day.
I will. Same to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. And one of our listeners is rolling, so I'm going to play a few techno tracks for him after the show ends. However, special thanks to the great guests this evening. Chris Baird, Stephen Sindoni, Donnie Gilson, Max Egan, and of course, Seven, who just took it away. And kiss the one you love right now, because you never know when the last time is going to be. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Good night.